And there are other times also, other people also have asked me to help them to start their dead battery car. Okay, and in those days, our cars are manual, so we can push start our car. Okay, so as always, the push is usually very difficult in the beginning, because that is the momentum that you need to obtain. And once you have that momentum, the effort is much easier, and the car can start. The engine speed is enough, and it can turn the engine, and then the car can start once the clutch is released. But of course, nowadays, automatic car have automatic clutch, so you can't do that anymore. So once the inertia is overcome, the movement can turn the engine, and starting to move the car takes a lot of energy. You know, I remember sometimes when people ask, and I try to do it myself, after doing that, you really pant, you know. You really pant, and sometimes I can even feel the atmosphere is getting darker. You know, you overexerted yourself trying to push the car. It takes a lot of energy and it's hard, but it gets easier as we sustain the effort in moving it. So this can only happen to manual cars. And so my advice to all of you who are driving modern car nowadays, to buy a good jump start cable. Though it may cost you a bit, but keep it in your car. It will save you a lot of unnecessary sweating and difficulty. You can help others, all right, with that jump start cable. So in this 21st century, after the Pentecostal revival of the 1900s, especially in Los Angeles, the Spirit of God is still blowing after 120 years. Many people have said that this is just a short phenomena. But the Pentecostal movement has lasted for at least 120 years, and it is still brewing today. So in this last 120 years, the Spirit is still driven, still driving, still moving the disciples of Jesus around the globe for many, many rounds already, and it is still happening. From Los Angeles, glossolalia, that is the speaking in tongues, okay, has been sent to all nations of the earth. To all nations of the earth, even indigenous nations were also receiving glossolalia on their own, because the Spirit of God is there. And the result all over the world has been tremendous effect, affecting the disciples, the churches, and also consequently affecting the economy, the social, and the political landscape of those nations. When God moves, things begin to move. This morning, I want to remind us of the need to keep in step with the Spirit, to serve along the Spirit, and to accomplish God's plan on earth. Great things are happening, praise the Lord, and are still happening. And God saw it necessary to send the Spirit to quicken the events that are going to happen, that are happening, in order to bring in the harvest, in order to gather the people that He has redeemed back to Himself. He has kind of a fast forward the plan with the outpouring of the Spirit. And for that matter, the Spirit is working powerfully even today. The title of my message this morning is "The Spirit is Blowing." And I will read from the familiar text that we always read in Acts chapter 2, from verse 1 to verse 12. Acts chapter 2 talks about the day of Pentecost. Let's read from verse 1 to verse 12. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of the violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seems to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hear them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Pergia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We heard them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?'" Father, we want to look to you. And Lord, we know that you have poured out your Spirit and you are working powerfully among us today. And this month, even as we emphasize on the Holy Spirit, we just want to be reminded again how that we need to keep in step with the Spirit. And we pray the Lord that you will speak to our hearts. Remind us, Lord, of your mighty works that you are doing upon the face of this earth. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are very familiar with this passage of Scripture because we are Pentecostal and we have really relied a lot on this passage to preach about the coming of the Holy Spirit and the speaking in tongues, and many of us are really familiar with this, and we even have preached about this many times. Okay, and this passage has to do with the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and it came with accompanying this with the speaking in tongues. Okay, it says that it looked like the fire that came and separated and rested on those that were gathered in that house. And they begin to speak in tongues. And there were other people that came from around the known world to Jerusalem to celebrate, okay, Pentecost. Pentecost is 50 days, okay, after the Passover. And during that time, Pentecost is also the celebration of the harvest. All right, so it's something like similar to our East Malaysians celebrating their Gawai. All right, so there were a lot of people that were gathered there. Okay, and I see that there were at least 15 ethnic groups of people. All right, that were there in Jerusalem during that time. So these tongues were understood by all these 15 ethnic groups of people, of Jewish people from around the known world. They heard in their own language the disciples declaring the wonders of God. The disciples were declaring the wonders of God. It was phenomenal. As those that were speaking, they were Galileans, and these Galileans were from northern Palestine, and probably they are not the people that are well-to-do, so they are not of them, not many of them would be those people who are like us, so well-traveled that we can pick up one or two words of foreign languages. And these Galileans were fishermen, and they were really very localized. And so for them, it was really a phenomenal thing to hear these local fishermen speaking foreign languages, and they speak and they can be understood. And the time of the disciples during that time, they were still fearful, they were still confused, and they were living from day to day, because Jesus was just taken away from them. And they were lost and very unsuspectingly, okay, of what to expect. Okay, but the great thing, they did not know that something that is happening, the great thing is going to happen very soon. Right? But Jesus has returned to heaven, and the instruction before that Jesus went back to heaven to them was to remain in Jerusalem, wait for it. In a few days, wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the receiving of power. Now, this is the receiving of the power, and what was the idea that the disciples was having? It was something that perhaps was like water baptism, maybe. They have not experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit before, and do not actually know what actually will take place, and they didn't know what it was, and the hint was that was given was something like water baptism. And then what? The question is what? That was the first and the beginning of spiritual phenomena. So let's look into the progression of the move of the Spirit during that time and until us today, so that we can be reminded and that we can keep in step with the Spirit. So firstly, how do we keep in step with the Spirit? And first of all, I want to talk about is the transformation. We want to read this, the whole section here, but we will not read because of a long passage here. From chapter 1 onwards, all right, up to chapter 4. Now, the first person that we want to take is Peter himself. Okay, let's reflect back and go back a little bit on Peter. Taking Peter as the starting point, he must have been very badly shaken, even though Jesus have reinstated him on the shores of Galilee. He had denied the Lord in Jerusalem, went back to Galilee, and Jesus met him there, and there Jesus spoke tenderly to him and restored him. It must have occurred to him that all those boastful speeches that he made, all those articulation that he gave, and all the wittiness that he has spoken about when he was with Jesus, but they turned out to be nothing but bags of hot air. Bags of hot air. He was not really who he thought he was. The substance in him was really very lacking. And then this self-important guy, he was proud, he was arrogant, and he was boastful. He wants to be the big brother. He wants to speak first and others to follow him. But he was reduced to ashes by the words of a servant girl. But Jesus stooped to him to raise him up to a new level of discipleship. From being so self-confident, down to the dirt, and Jesus remade him. Just like the man that was born without eyes, Jesus, you will remember, he spit on the dirt and he made mud out of the dirt and he applied it into the eye socket of the blind man, and the blind man went seeing again. God remade eyeballs. And that was what Jesus did with Peter. He remade him from a self-importance and arrogant guy that fell from grace into the dirt, and God raised him up again. He thought he was strong, but it turned out weak. He was devastated by his own denial because he wept bitterly. But Jesus would still restore him. He was feeling disappointed until Pentecost came. Until the baptism of the Spirit with the speaking in tongue and with power. That makes the difference in this person, Peter. He was charged and become aware of his potential, and the Spirit helped him to even excel beyond his limitation. And he did good. Let me say, he did good. This guy came around and he did good. He preached with power and authority. And that day, in his first sermon, 3,000 people were saved on that day. And subsequently, he even healed a crippled beggar who was begging at the temple. And that caused a commotion because people were taught that after the taking away of Jesus, all the miracles and all the healing would cease and the religious authority will rest in peace. But no, out of Jesus came these 12 disciples, and Peter was one of them who was healing the beggar, the crippled beggar, and that caused another phenomena to take place. And he preached, and he kind of authoritatively speak to the religious leader during that healing. He was put even in prison by them, but he escaped miraculously in the night. God delivered him. You see, there were other spirit anointed events that will follow after from chapter 5 and the following. And he became very bold. A man that is timid has become bold and was no longer the old Peter, but the spirit anointed, spirit empowered Peter now. On that day of Pentecost, this Peter rose again on newfound level of discipleship and with boldness proclaimed the good news of Jesus. And people were cut to the heart. They hear him and they were cut to the heart. That new Peter spoke with confidence by the power of the Holy Spirit and went on to be a notable disciple in Jerusalem and in other parts of the world. And the transformation was done in this man. Only the Spirit could have changed a person like this. Only the Spirit worked. I want to tell you a little bit story about myself, about my transformation story. Now, I was born a simple guy. I was very shy. I was very timid. And I was not kind of a leader. And I wasn't really assertive myself. And I was bullied because I was the youngest of the four siblings. And so because when you are younger, everything blame on you, everything falls on you, and you got no reply, so you get everything. So I grew up into that kind of environment, that kind of a childhood days. And so I was timid. I think I shared it before. I was still stammering until I was a teenager. Okay? I can't really speak. To you face to face, that kind. You wait for me also, you fed up. So that was how inferior I was, building up with all those negative input. That kind of caused some kind of a psychological a weakness in me. All right. And over the years, as I began to know the Lord, as I begin to be involved and in March of 1974, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. In May, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I began to speak in tongue. And I do not know what it was, but this pastor was telling me, you must speak more in tongues. So speak more. So pastor says, speak more. So keep speaking in tongues. And suddenly, when I think I was about 17, 18 years old, suddenly one day I asked myself, when did I stop stammering? I forgot, you know. I didn't remember when did I stop stammering. And I recovered from there. And I want to praise God for working in my life. And all these years, okay, and I never think and never imagine that I will be up here on stage and preach the word of God. This is not my plan. My plan is to go to UK, study architecture, and be an architect. That was what I wanted to do. Okay, I never thought that I will one day be here. But Lord made the way, and today I can preach the word of God. Hallelujah. Just as authoritative as was with Peter. I thank God for that transformation. It was made good. And I believe that many of us also would be on the way, and many of you are already there, that the transformation has taken place. So today we need the power of the Holy Spirit to carry out God's work. The work of God is no small thing. It's a very spiritual thing, and it's no small thing. And so we need the Spirit to unleash the power on us to accomplish His work, and it's not done by human effort alone. Are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes, we are. Some of us may not be. Are we filled with the speaking in tongues? Thank God that some of us are. Some of us may not be. If we are not spoken in tongues, then we are not filled with the Holy Spirit. And if we are not filled with the Holy Spirit, then we lack the power to really do spiritual things. Paul said that the spiritual warfare needs spiritual weapons. It cannot be done by human efforts alone. We have to have the transformation from within to do spiritual things effectively, courageously, with lots of results. Let the Spirit have more of us on a daily basis. Have the Spirit immerse us. In other words, consummate us with the Spirit. The days are getting darker, and we need more of the Spirit now to be present in all of human efforts and human affairs. And I want all of us here to have a spiritual encounter in order to tap into the Spirit's power that we may gain the victory in a spiritual warfare. In all spheres of our existence, like in politics, there are workers of darkness pushing the boundaries to win over the light. So, seek to be filled with the Spirit and speak in tongues as much as we can and as often as we can. We are in a spiritual war. Then, in the natural, be spiritual and seek to push back the darkness and let it not overcome us. Let us push back the darkness. It is our duty to do so as we have been transformed by the coming of the Holy Spirit. That is the first thing to keep in step with the Spirit. We need that transforming power of God. It has to come to us. And of course, secondly, how to keep in step with the Spirit is revival. And we will read this in chapter 8 and following in Acts chapter 8 and others, other chapters. And this time we want to take Philip as the second point. And last week, Pastor Yiming preached about Philip. And this morning, I want to focus on him bringing revival to Samaria. That is a very interesting place. Philip was a disciple who was full of the Holy Spirit and with faith. And because of that, he was one of those seven that were chosen to wait on tables. And just like many of us who is filled with faith and with the Holy Spirit, okay, we can be like Philip. He was a committed disciple within the group of believers in Jerusalem, and which was earlier called to wait on tables. Man that was anointed, but willing to wait on tables. And then on, he was willing to serve the Lord. He was baptized with the Holy Spirit, gifted, and he was doing what he was called upon to do. He had a humble disposition. And after Stephen was martyred, the church was persecuted by Saul, and the church was scattered. It recorded for us that Philip went to a Samaritan city and preached Jesus there. And during that time, we know that Jews do not associate with Samaritans, because long ago, a big group of people, I believe was from Central Asia, they were conquered by other people. They were conquered and they were brought, transported and planted, scattered, forced to settle in Samaria, in a place that was close by to the Mediterranean Sea. And the purpose of this conqueror is to weaken the ethnicity of those people and to prevent any future uprising in their homeland. They kind of like destroy them, send them away, okay? We all know the same story that when Nebuchadnezzar invaded Jerusalem, Judea, they sacked the whole of that area, and they took the people away to scatter them in his empire, in Babylon, so that they will be weakened as a people. All right, this is politics. This is something quite common to most of the people during that time. And these Samaritans were foreigners that were brought to settle down in Samaria. And of course, over time, that these foreigners begin to intermarry with the local people, with the Jewish people, and they became half-bred Jews. Half-bred. And so here we have Philip going to that Samaritan village, which the Jews do not look much upon. The Samaritan, in fact, sometimes they call them dogs. They look down on them because they were not true Jews. But then Philip went to this place in the Samaritan village, a Samaritan town, and preached Jesus there. And there was a revival that broke out. A revival broke out in a half-bred Jewish town. And they were having a good time. People come to know the Lord and believe in Jesus. They saw the power of God manifested through Philip, and they believed the miracles, and they hear the gospel, and they accepted the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. And there was a thing that was running on. We all heard about the latest revival that was happening in Ashbury University. All right? And so it's something like that that is happening in that Samaritan town. And then the people in Jerusalem, the leaders were thinking, hey, Kenna, those half-bred Jewish people are having a revival. Can happen or not? They were surprised that this thing can take place. And so they sent John and Peter to go and take a look. And so these two top disciples, they came and take a look at the place and saw that it was true. And we're going to pray for them as well. And they were so convinced that they too themselves, on their way back, they went to other Samaritan villages and towns and began to preach Jesus as well. So you see, there were changes in this group of leaders. Philip was being used by the Spirit of God. You know, something that they need to go and see. That God is doing a new thing. Can this happen or not? You know, some time ago, Gabriel come and tell me about this nice feature that they have put up in Changi Terminal 4. This place, I think they call that the Jewel, something like that. There was this fountain, that very big fountain where the water fell, come gushing down from the top right up to the bottom, accompanied with the colored lights and music and all that. So the stirred up my interest, and I think that I must go and see. First thing, only thing, or the first one in Southeast Asia or even in the world. So I was interested, so I go and see. I wanted to go and see. So when the opportunity come to visit Singapore, so I went and see the place. I make sure that I go there, even though the airport was very far away from where I stay. Okay, it took about an hour to get there. So went there and see the place. Well, very fantastic, very, very kind of a experiential. You see the amount of water from that top rushing down, coming down with lights and with music. Actually, there was no standing room also, no? In that few levels of the complex. There were so many people coming to see. And I remember pushing my mother-in-law to go and see. My mother-in-law was on a wheelchair during that time. She was still managed to be able to come with us. So we watched that. Let's watch that for a while. Then I said that, wow, I came, I saw. I believe now. Here we are. So many of us Pentecostal in this room here. It can be patterned like Philip today. We can experience the leading of the Spirit. Hear the voice of the Spirit. And of course, be teleported by the Spirit as well. Wow. This is the first recorded teleportry, and it happened in the Bible. This is not sci-fi, you know. This is real. Philip was teleported by the Spirit and appeared in Azotus. Wow. Something really, really happened, you know, that we nearly can experience this with the Holy Spirit. And with this kind of miracle, if we can really be shared about, I think a lot of people would believe in Jesus. The fact is, if we are baptized with the Spirit, and we are full of power, and we are being able to serve in signs and wonders. When we are willing like Philip, we can be the catalyst for greater things to happen that will really astound many people. Many things that we do not think can happen, but the Spirit is able. And I believe that many of us want to have experiences with God, and we actually can. We actually can. We can exercise our authority and command healings, speak miraculous things, prophesy, release spiritual blessings, and breakthrough. Jesus actually promised us in John 14, verse 12. John 14, verse 12. Perhaps we all can read together. Okay? 3, 2, 1. Jesus promised that. Wow. We are candidates of the supernatural, and we can really, as the Lord leads us, do these great signs and wonders. And we can do greater things. Wow, how great were the miracles of Jesus. But we can do greater things because Jesus goes to the Father, bringing all the glory to God the Father. If we are all daring, then there is nothing that cannot be done. We can be the catalyst for supernatural event. But we need to be willing and obedient just like Philip's. Just like Philip. Right? So that is the second point. The revival. And thirdly, how can we keep in step with the Spirit? The expansion. The expansion. In chapter 9, onwards in Acts. Now this time we want to think about Paul. Paul as a third point. He was a noted Old Testament scholar. He was extremely zealous for God. There's nothing for God that he will not dedicate himself to. All his training, all his zeal, and his practices were all human efforts. And because it was human effort, he did it all wrong. It was not based upon faith. Now, he didn't know about all that. So all his training, and he did it wrong. But God, in his mercy, saved him. And with his new zeal, he served the Lord. And this time, as an inspired, anointed teacher, a scholar, a theologian, and a missionary. Consider the things that he has done. We praise God for that. He had a personal encounter with the Lord on the road to Damascus. Jesus speak with a disapproving voice to him and led him into the desert to be realigned and then sent to the church and then sent into the world. In his latter time, he was considered as a new apostle, accompanied with signs and wonders through the Spirit, zeal for salvation, strong words of instruction and building up, and with authority, he has endless church build planting, endurance in suffering, in hardships, in imprisonment, and also raising up leaders, and finally being a martyr for Jesus as well. That was the life story of Paul. Without God raising Paul up, there will be no strong church, no New Testament era, no church doctrines that sustain us. He was a noted servant of God who will never stop at his best as he was compelled by the love of God to go beyond even himself. He went even when he was being held back by some kind of infirmity. The Spirit works powerfully to overcome his personal limitation, and he gains so much for the kingdom of God. Was he disobedient? No. Was he perfect? No. Was he great in the past? No. But he was when God came upon him with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Paul says that I speak in tongues more than most of you. And I believe so, that he was anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit. That was only one man. And he has brought so much of changes to the kingdom of God. But he was not satisfied in just about himself. So he raised up so many other notable people, like Titus, like Timothy, like Philemon, like Epaphras, Onesimus, Aristarchus, Mark, and so on and so on. And these men, on their own ways, expanded the kingdom of God after Paul has gone from the scene. And this man continued to be effective, just as effective as Paul. So you see that the transformation, the revival, comes the expansion. It was just a natural sequence of things that is happening. People that are led by the Spirit of God do things the spiritual way. In 1997, I planned and made a first mission intrusion into the mountains of central Luzon in the Philippines. That was 1997. There were 23 of us on that mission trip. And so I divided the group into three groups. And so I have my teammates with me. Still with me today. Brother Jack Teo, are you here? Yeah, you remember. Brother Aaron Andy, are you here? Oh, he's the back hometown. All right. So the three of us were the same team. Okay? And of course, we also remembered very vividly what we did during that time, especially when there were no toilets. We went to the mountain churches and we shared our testimony and the Word of God. Now, we were not really trained, you know, from Bible school. We were not really trained. We were just like any layman. Okay? But we went anyway. And from then onwards, we planted many churches after the years. And going there was more a blessing to us than really a blessing to the people. I really felt that I'm so blessed. The rich experience have been a catalyst to new ministries that we are involved in today, without which we will still be sitting around and doing nothing. We went with willing hearts and surrendered life. It brought about expansion. And the rest of the story, you can ask Jack Teo about it. He can tell you. We praise God for that kind of an intrusion, that kind of a step of faith. And now we have so many other churches that we have planted in the Philippines. And we thank God for that. Today, we are still believing the same gospel that has come to us because of faithful men led by the Spirit and expanded the kingdom of God. The gospel has marched on for 2,200 years and is still marching on. They went and they committed themselves fully to the work of the ministry and cooperating with the Spirit. And so as a result, the gospel did not break during that time. It continued on until today. Likewise, today, we want to continue to do that, so that the gospel will reach the next generation and the next generation. Who we are and what we do now has a future bearing on the Church of Jesus Christ. Consider that. If we keep in step with the Spirit, the Spirit's move, we will be able to pass the baton on to the next generation, so we are not without direction. There is a goal and an objective for all of us. The next generation will reach their next generation. And because of that, I need to emphasize that parents Right now, we need to be intentional to influence our children or our grandchildren to the Lord. We need to influence them. We need not be apologetic about this, as this is our heritage. This is our thing that we have received from the Lord. This is what we were going to give them, the hope for the future in their life. We owe them this duty. And so as parents, especially to you mothers on this special Mother's Day, you need to emphasize this to your children and even to your grandchildren, the need to know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. And also, as much as possible, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to speak in tongues. So don't be afraid or shy to tell them about Jesus. Meanwhile, we need to follow in the stream of the Spirit and allow to be driven along by the Spirit. Let none of us fall away from our faith, but all of us actively serving to safeguard our walk with the Lord. We must do all that we can and to press in, to persevere in. Let's all do this together and not be diverted or be distracted. The Spirit in this latter day say, come. The invitation is open. So let us all respond. Every one of us must be doing our part to expand the kingdom of God. So in conclusion now, the message I share today is more than history. It is a work of the Spirit in our time over human deficiencies. None of us is perfect. None of us is good enough. But yet the Spirit still works through us, bringing about the glory that is due to the Father. The Spirit is a driving force in the things of God. The Spirit has driven men to the furthest corners of the earth, furthest part of the earth, to be His witnesses and to raise up a church for Jesus Christ. Many has been successful and many were martyred, but the gospel continued to march on and it continues to do so. And there are people that are still responding to the call of God and they are still going out and going on. Signs and wonders are still accompanying to the preaching of the word of God, preaching to the gospel of Jesus Christ. People are still responding to the gospel and eternity is still open and available for whomsoever who will believe. Looking from the big picture, we are not individuals that are living from day to day. We are not individuals just living for our own existence. There is a bigger event that is taking place in the spirit world and we are part of that happening. We are all a part of this great movement of the Spirit. Let not be complacent or even short-sighted just to live for ourselves, just for live for this minute. Let's all understand the plan of God and be a part of His great move. The Spirit is blowing. We have to keep in step with the Spirit in order to be in the flow. Follow closely to the Spirit's leading and keep in step with the Spirit.